countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Now with our highest ever readership of 321,000 weekly readers.
Come over here, look, we'll just go towards that light.
This is Ray O'Fowlu.
We can go deeper in, or if you want to get away from the wind.
And we're walking through a small forestry plantation near his home.
We are. We're about 3 kilometres outside Milltown Malby. We're in a townland called Eilean.
Ray is passionate about trees. He's an environmentalist and a conservationist who's interested in agriculture, forestry and biodiversity and restoring Irish native woodlands.
It's great for me. It's just a really good opportunity to kind of to talk about something I'm interested in.
We chatted earlier this week about the startup charity Home Tree, whom he works for.
Okay, so Home Tree is a small, I don't know if there's such a thing, but it's a little startup charity. It's about 5 years old, and its primary objective is creating permanent native woodlands in Ireland. And, you know, originally the model was very simple. If Damien wanted to pitch in a few bob, we'd get a tree in the ground, or we'd purchase a bit of land, and we'd try and create permanent native woodland. But that's evolved as time has gone on. That's evolved, and last year we were awarded about €200,000 in funding from Pippa Hackett's department to run a small-scale EIP, working with local farmers in this catchment to find ways of integrating trees into their farm systems. I suppose it came out of the reality that, look, no matter how much land Home Tree ever acquired, it would be a drop in the ocean compared to all the farmland that's out there. So we saw the big opportunities in working hand in hand with farmers to help them integrate trees into their systems.
Why is there such low tree cover on Irish farms?
Jesus, great question. Like, how far back do you want to go? I was just talking to someone this morning, you know, about the history of forestry in Ireland. As you know, like, at one point the country was covered in great woodlands of oak and elm and Scots pine, and over time we developed iron tools and we cut the woodlands down to make way for agriculture. And that's been our culture, that's been our psyche. You know, what's the saying? Another year, another sow, another acre under the plough. It's always about continually improving, continually clearing land for production. And so we moved from forest people, you know, our place names, our own names, Dara from Dara, you know, or Dirren, to, you know, so we were forest people. And now we're kind of pastoralists, and that's just been the arc of history. And I think, I suppose, the work of Home Tree and other such organisations, I'd like to think, is to move a little bit back towards that original forest culture we had. You know, I mean, it's in everything around us. As I said, place names, what are the Breton laws, the Ohm alphabet, that all came from the woodlands. You know, so
do farmers fear that they'll be seen as failures if they plant good land?
Yeah, well, it's always being described at the moment as a big challenge. Getting trees onto farms is a big challenge. And it is, clearly, there's political, there's economic, there's cultural challenges. Mm. But there's also opportunities, and I think that's where we need to go. It's seen now as like, oh, that's a failure. You had to plant the trees because, you know, there was no successor to the farm, or the economics of your farm weren't working out. But I'd like to see more as trees as a way of supporting farm systems and backing up farm income. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday who was talking about the perception on Austrian farms of farm forests, and he said they were considered like a savings account. You know, the forest on the farm was like, if hard times came, you can fell some trees, sell the timber, and that got you through to it. And I love that idea of forests being seen as, you know, having great utility rather than an obligation. If we're in a carbon crisis and we're in a biodiversity crisis, and farmers can get trees in the ground to remediate some of these things, you know, we shouldn't be shy about looking after them financially for doing that. You know, we really shouldn't.
Ray, you're living among farmers here of all shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. You're a conservationist, you're an environmentalist. Do you understand, I suppose, their frustration with, I suppose, the image that has been painted of them in some quarters?
Yeah, of course I do. I mean, look, the reality is farmers, just like myself and yourself, they operate within a system. We all think we're very autonomous, but we're not really. You know, I'm an environmentalist, but I drive a 2-litre diesel car, and I drive it because at the moment it makes the most economic sense and I wouldn't be able to afford a new electric car. Farmers are the exact same. You know, they're using fertilizer because it's the only way they can get enough milk produced to make it, to make their farm viable, or to produce enough beef or enough tillage or whatever. So like, they're just operating within a system. I mean, this image of farmers having a kind of a being vindictive in relation to the environment is totally erroneous, you know. Like, I mean, I was just up with a farmer who's on we're working with on our EIP the other day, and like so many farmers I meet, you know, he was just so in tune with the nature and his farm. He thought, I have to show you this, come up here, and he showed me a 1 foot high little wild Scots pine tree that he'd been observing for the last 2 or 3 years. And you know, that stuff happens all the time, you know, for a group that get castigated so much for their impact on the environment, and there's no doubt farming has a significant impact on the environment, they're also the most in touch or most connected with the environment, you know.
What sort of farming do you think we will have in this country in 10, 15 years' time?
Honestly, looking at the way things are now, two things are obvious if we keep going the way we're going. Some places are going to suffer from abandonment, you know, where there's nobody to take on farms and land just goes wild, and that's not always a good ecological or environmental outcome. And the other side is we're going to get intensification, which we're already seeing. And what I'd like to see is that, like, farms like the ones around here, which have always been relatively medium intensity, are supported to keep going at that level. Obviously, the role of the farmer, especially here in areas of the West, is going to... Look, they're always going to be farmers. They're always going to be in the business of minding and looking after animals. But they'll also get far more involved into kind of like looking after biodiversity, sequestering carbon, looking after local water quality. And I'd like them to be really well remunerated for those roles. And I don't see any reason why we should be shy about doing that.
When you look around you and you look at the farms in the west of Ireland, what mistakes have we made, in your opinion, through your conservationist eyes over the last 30 or 40 years?
Yeah, well, Damien, like as most people would say, in terms of afforestation, the forests that have been created in so many instances displaced like really important and precious habitats, you know, species-rich grassland, curlew nesting grounds, hen harrier nesting grounds. So that was a disaster, you know. Look, it's going to be hard to claw back on that, but in terms of where the opportunities are, look, I do a lot of exploring around here in West Clare, and one thing I realise is that on almost every farm, there's a little nook of beautiful native woodland, and there's such a huge opportunity to incentivise farmers to just let that native woodland grow. And it would grow. That's the trees have been planting themselves for millions of years. Those woodlands would expand and grow if we just took grazing pressure off them a little bit. And certainly if we changed the rules around clearing scrub. All scrub is, for the most part, is young forest. It's emergent forest. And look, I understand you don't want scrub all over your farm, but if we had a kind of a strategy, like allow scrub to accumulate there between that woodlands and that woodlands or down by the river, you know, I think that that would be the most ecologically sound native woodland scheme we could ever come up with.
Yeah, that was Ray O'Faulu in Milltown Malbay in County Clare. He's involved with Home Tree, whose aim is to establish and conserve permanent native woodland. And you can find out more at hometree.ie.